Episode 265. Welcome one and all to the year 2018. We're back and we're stronger than ever. Well, sort of. We've got a team of three people here. I am your host, Chad O'Brien, and with me today we've got Jason Gibson.
Hey yo!
And Marcelo Torrejon.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
And everything is awesome here in 2018. Have you reached 2018 yet out there, listener? I hope you have. Because it's so far it's a lot better than 2017, right? Yeah? No?
Sure.
Could. Sure. Well, if you count what happened today in America, maybe not so much, but you know.
You could say that every single day.
That's right.
But today is especially bad. So
we could copy and paste that statement, and it'll work next week and the week after. Right, but that's our politics minute with Marcelo, and and what we really talked about here on this Kaiju podcast is. Movies. We talk about movies from the 1930s and
all the time.
All the time.
Here's looking at you, kid.
That's a bit. That's later.
Yeah that's.
Oh,
yeah,
that's later. Sorry.
Not yeah, the 1930s.
Sorry. Yeah, Bogart was not big in the 30s. Let's just say. He was physically not big in the 30s.
I'm sure I'm going to get an earful for that one later on.
No. Time is hard. It's hard to remember when people were around. So
it's a bit wibbly wobbly.
Yeah. I mean, Humphrey Bogart would have been? No, he would have been 30.
Teenager. 30.
Yeah, he was born in. He was born like 1900 exactly.
Something. Yeah. Okay. Okay. There you go.
So, either 1900 or 1899, I can't remember. Anyway, we actually started talking about. let's move on to talking about what we really talk about is video games. And, we have played, quite a few of them, or at least I have.
More than usual.
Yeah. Jason has been sick a lot and Marcelo has things to do. So I've been playing a lot of games, but, before we talk about the games we've been playing, we're going to talk about the news of the gaming world. And Nintendo just ran out of the gate with this one this week. Within the past week, we had a very, very exciting announcement. First, there was the Nintendo Direct 2 weeks ago, where we had a little update on a number of different titles. Nothing extremely major came out of that, though. But then we were teased the following week, so last week, with a announcement that there would be a new way to play aimed at kids and those who are kids at heart. And people were wondering if we were just getting another Direct or if this was going to be about some accessory or just something. But then we got Nintendo Labo. And the crowd went wild.
The day depends on how old the crowd is.
That's, well, yeah, and how cynical the crowd is.
Yeah.
so, So yeah, well, this crowd, this crowd of one named Chad O'Brien, certainly got excited. I don't know about the crowds over there named Jason and Marcelo. Let's talk about what it is first. So Nintendo Labo is indeed a new way to play, or at least it's new if you didn't grow up in the 1930s.
more than the 1930s?
Probably not. I'm just, it's a joke here. Okay. Okay. Calm down. We are not the History of Cardboard podcast.
Lack of humor from here, man. So.
That's right. Right. So anyway, yes, Nintendo Labo is cardboard. It's a, so what they're doing here is they are, selling, I'm assuming laser cut cardboard sheets that you can, that have specific patterns, and you can punch out those patterns and fold them, you know, tabs into slots and everything like that until you form, a number of different shapes. One of them is like a house, one is a piano, one of them looks like some kind of bird. There's a number of different things you can make with these.
It was like a robot suit or something that you could actually wear.
Yeah, there was like, it was like a backpack and gauntlets for your hands and stuff for your feet and little thing that comes on your head. So a lot of different things you can make with these cardboard printouts, and then you stuff a Joy-Con into the thing, and that's basically the key that allows it to become this new gaming toy. So for example, they showed the piano. You can make, 13 key? Anyway.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. It's a really small piano, probably the size of a laptop or something like that, but, you put the right Joy-Con in the back, straight in the back, and it uses the Joy-Con's infrared camera to kind of sense the position of the keys. I'm not sure it's been like fully explained if there's just going to be like reflective tape or if there's an actual IR sensor or something like that in like on the keys itself, but there will be a way for the camera to pick up the key's position and also like what key it is, and it relays it back to the Switch's unit, which produces the noise. So little cardboard piano becomes an actual piano. And that was just one example of the things they're trying to come out with. The house has a little creature inside it, and you can feed the creature, or it's basically like a larger scale Tamagotchi. I don't think they had Tamagotchis in the 1930s. I could be wrong.
I think they were called Chupacabras at the time.
Yes, yes. The old Chupacabra, you go out and you wait for it to...
goats.
Yeah, you wait for it to try to get your goats, and then you stuff it in a cage and bring it back home, and you wait for it to poop itself to death. that's what I did with my Tamagotchi.
Wow, yeah, so that's more about you than I ever wanted to know, but okay.
Other things that were available, they showed there was a fishing rod, and you could catch fish with that. And that one was pretty interesting because, you know, it has like a full active reel that you can spin. That was pretty interesting. And they did show a lot of the innards for these various things. And it's not simply... insert tabs into slots for all of them. Some of them require like kind of gear construction, so they have bands and things like that that will activate mechanical assemblies. So it's pretty interesting. They're basically trying to get kids into like actually crafting the toys they play with, and at the same time, some of the things they showed kind of have little introductions to programming, because there was like a little man figure, human figure, and it showed it showed the kid like pressing some buttons and basically like giving like giving that button press a certain command. So it ended up that the man just like fell over, but whatever. Yeah, so kind of it was an interesting thing to see. And I will definitely be picking up one of the sets. There are two sets currently announced. One of them is a variety pack, which includes the... I can't remember all of them. It was like, it includes the house, the piano, the fishing line, and a couple of other things. And so you get those sets. The other one is the robot that we mentioned earlier, because that is a full, like, it goes over your entire body.
Yeah, it's a wearable thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty big.
Yeah. And how that one works is also pretty interesting because, there's the cables and like ropes and pulleys basically, and the Joy-Con goes in your back, and the IR camera detects like the height of certain things that are moved by pulling the strings that are attached to your limbs. So pretty interesting stuff going on there, and I don't know, like I said, I was really fascinated by it. I'm being realistic. I'm not gonna get like hundreds of hours of amusement out of all this, but I'll build the things and have you know a couple of hours of fun. And
yeah, it seemed like a fun little toy.
Yeah.
My gripe with it was like the same thing we had in a line conversation, was that like it seems a bit expensive, but then it also comes back, you have to buy the software for the whole thing. So if you factor in like the cost of a game, and then also the cost of buying the cardboard cutout stuff, it's kind of reasonable, I suppose. But I kind of prefer my games, if I'm going to buy like a game, a $50-$60 game, to last longer than a couple hours.
That's true. But then plenty of people also bought 1-2 Switch. That was $50. But
yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't know. Like I said, it seems like a cool little toy. Mm-hmm. But it's not something I think I'd drop like game amounts of money on.
Yeah, the price definitely is something to consider. The variety kit that I talked about cost $70. And again, it comes with all those different things. The robot though costs $80 to purchase that, and both of those are available April 20th. So a lot of people have been joking like it's 420 day, so blaze up it. And yeah, blaze it or blaze it. I don't know weed lingo. I don't know. I live in a country that is vehemently opposed to the green earth.
Yeah, but you know internet maymays, don't you?
Are you sure about that? Not really. But Marcelo, what do you think of this? Did you watch the label? I didn't watch it,
but just by the explanation, like for me, if they sell it like individuals. Mm. Like, say, for, like, a reasonable price, I'd probably be really interested in it, because the piano one sounds kind of cool.
Mm.
And to show my old mannedness, I kind of want the fishing one. So,
well, I think, yeah. I heard that you can, like, they're putting out the patterns, like, online for, like, free to download.
So
if you want to make it out of your own cardboard, and you have, like, little pulleys and plastic connectors laying around the house... you could do that, I think.
That sounds like way more time investment
like,
than I'm willing
to do. I don't
know
exactly what the innards of these things look like how much stuff you need outside of the cardboard. But
see,
I
would
heard
rather
that
be like
the patterns
together.
Yeah.
The patterns are going to be available. Well, ostensibly, we don't fully know yet. They haven't really come out and said they're going to do that, but they will be available so you can DIY your own things, but you will still need the software, obviously. I hope that means that eventually there will be a download version of this, download version of the software, so that maybe it can be a cheaper, you know, way, so people can just buy the software and make everything else themselves. If they continue with this, I could even see if this becomes really popular, I could see this just becoming a thing, like, in toy shops, not, you know, not in an electronic gaming section, but, like, I don't know where you would put it. Maybe, like, in the build it section, like Legos and stuff.
With the Legos and stuff, yeah.
You could just have, you know, the cardboard sheets themselves, so you could go like, oh, you know, maybe I'll pick up the fishing game today or something like that.
Actually, I could totally see this being one of those things that they'd sell at the kind of Loft and Tokyo Hands here in Japan, like something like that. You got those sections. Yeah.
And then,
maybe. But like I said, if it was singular bits, I would totally be on board for this, but that's $70, man. That's a lot.
So just get a kid, and then you can justify it.
Kids are a bit more expensive than $70.
Though. That doesn't work, though, Chad. You get a kid, and then you have to pay for clothes and food and stuff, and you have less money.
Wait, you're supposed to do that? That you just let them roll around their own?
Yeah, it's kind of this weird thing. You know, you have a kid, and then you have to keep it alive. You know,
that's ridiculous. That's just
crazy. On that note, it is kind of funny. They're having a specific Nintendo Labo like demonstration days at various locations around the world, and they've had to announce beforehand that you must have a child to attend. because people are interested.
Chad, you and I are out for those type of days, aren't we?
I'll let you borrow one of mine.
It's like a press pass, but living.
Yeah, but so like I said, I'm pretty interested. I'll pick up the variety kit, not the robot set. One thing I'm kind of curious about the robot set is if it is like a one-size-fits-all thing, because...
Japanese people are pretty small.
Not even just that, but it's entirely dependent on ropes and pulleys that lead back to this backpack unit. And thus, if you have like extremely long arms, you might just like punch too hard and break the entire set. So I don't know, but yeah, the variety kit seems one of the most interesting things there is, like, they call it an RC car, but it looks more like an insect kind of thing. It's got like these little triangular legs, and it doesn't have wheels, but it moves entirely through using the HD rumble on the controls.
Sounds freaking cool.
Yeah, it works. Holy crap. Through like it's basically like tank controls. So it showed the switch screen. So if you're rumbling only on the left side, it'll turn left. If you rumble only on the right, it'll turn right. And then if you rumble both, it'll go forward. That kind of thing. Looks pretty interesting. So yeah. One other thing that happened early this year, not Nintendo, but just a fun event was the AGDQ marathon, which Jason did not watch, I love watching those guys do what they do. AGDQ, for those who don't know, is Awesome Games Done Quickly. They have two marathons a year at this point. The AGDQ is usually at the beginning of the year, and then Summer Games Done Quickly, or SGDQ, is in, I'm not sure, fall?
August, I want to say.
August. So summer. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You get to see speed runners do what they do best. Speed run different games, and this includes not always just like what do you call it? Just standard speed runs, but they've got some things like glitch categories, or
those are great.
Yeah, so they had this year, they had Donkey Kong Country 2, the reverse boss order, so you fight every boss in reverse order except for the final boss. But yeah, that was pretty interesting. I didn't even know that was possible, considering it's a very linear platformer. But then there was also things like the Link to the Past randomizer run.
Oh, that was a great run. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so this is a pretty recent thing where they take the game Zelda Link to the Past and they randomize every item in the game so that basically, like, you might find the Master Sword in a pot that you have to break in somebody's house or something like that. But this one was a special one. It had no swords whatsoever, so people had to find the hammer to be able to do any damage whatsoever and get the bow. And
Or the hook shot or whatever. Yeah. I think actually one guy got the hook shot and won that starting houses.
That sounds like it has a high probability of, like, you just not being able to finish the game.
No, they set it up in a way that, like, yeah, you would have some type of weapon at least in the starting area.
Okay.
Yeah, they,
like, it's randomized to an extent.
Yeah.
Better way to put it.
Yeah, and they can do all sorts of special tweaks with it. But for my money, I actually did donate about $50 to Carcinogen for his run of Resident Evil 7.
That was a fantastic run.
Yeah, too. It was amazing. So he was doing a Resident Evil 7 Madhouse run, Madhouse being the hardest difficulty. You die in just a few hits and limited saves and things like that. So very few actual glitches in the game. So it really is a pretty standard speed run, but you have to be on your game because, again, even the smallest hits could kill you, and some of the enemies in there could do what they call just a sucker punch, like impossible to dodge and things like that. So lots of fun in that. Like it was great watching. It's kind of a meme in this event, but like speedrunners will say, well, that's never happened before, because yeah, during a marathon certain things will happen that surprise even the most veteran runners. And then they closed it all out with a 4-hour speed run of Zelda Breath of the Wild with all main quests completed. So that was pretty interesting. It involved a bunch of shrine skips. So being able to complete shrines without actually solving the puzzle in the way the developers intended. Or you could argue that's the way the developers did intend. Oh. And also a bunch of stasis jumps where you you freeze trees, hit them for a while, and then ride them on into the sunset as they launch forward.
Chad, did you catch the task block? I didn't catch it this time around, but I was wondering if you managed to see it.
I only saw one task play, so task being tool assisted speedrun, where basically they let the computer do it, because some of these speedruns do require what they call frame perfect movements, which is where you basically take advantage of certain glitches that only happen during certain frames in a game, and clipping through walls or doing whatever, and a robot can do that a lot better. So these task runs are pretty cool. I only saw one. It was for Super Dram World 2, which is a
it's a fan game, isn't it?
Yeah, we're getting deep into nerd territory here, but Super Dram World 2 is a Kaizo Mario-like. So Kaizo Mario itself is its own category of... before Mario Maker was a thing, people would take the Mario system and make their own hellish levels, and it became Kaizo Mario. Kaizo being the Japanese word for, like, edited. Kaizo Mario became a thing, and people started making their own games. So Super Dram World is one of those where basically every level can be finished, but it requires an extreme amount of skill. And so they had an actual player go through all the levels, and that was amazing, just watching that. But then they had a task bot, or, you know, again, like I said, a robot do it, and the tricks that robot pulled off were pretty intense. Things that were not,
I definitely to watch that for
things
sure.
that were not pipes became pipes, and he was teleporting all over the place, and it was pretty crazy. So, yeah, AGDQ, it's a great thing, and the whole thing is set up to, like I said earlier, I donated. That's because this actually is a charity marathon. The whole thing is set up to support the, Prevent Cancer Foundation. I think that's it, or
Foundation. I think it's Doctors with Without.
No. That's not it.
Or is
no.
that the summer one?
It's always cancer.
No, there's two. There's Doctors Without Borders and the Prevent Cancer Foundation. I just don't remember which one's which.
AGDQ is always cancer.
Is it okay? Yeah. My bad.
So, yeah. It's not that big a deal. It's charity. So support charity, guys. Watch these things and support charity. Kick cancer's ass. So yeah, that was fun. Yeah. Now we've talked about things that have happened. Let's talk about things that are going to happen. We have here on the source of all global information known as Wikipedia. I have the 2018 in video gaming website or page, I guess, pulled up, and this thing is usually pretty accurate. It's got people can edit it however they like, so even smaller games tend to get mentioned up here. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna take a look at the release schedule for the upcoming year and see what we like, see what we don't like. And yeah, should be fun, right?
Yeah,
sounds good.
Yeah, so we're in the middle of January, so we're going to talk about what's coming up next on the 23rd. We've actually got a nice day of indie games coming up. So we have Iconoclast for the PC, PS4, and PS Vita. That's a Metroid-like. It's one of those games that's done entirely by one developer. I'm not sure if it's Cognac or Konjak, but it's K-O-N-J-A-K. I'm gonna say Cognac because his name is Joaquim, so maybe it's based on that. Anyway, it's an action platformer style, game that he's been working on forever, and it looks amazing, it sounds amazing, it's pretty good. So that's coming out on the 23rd, along with The Inpatient for PSVR. That's it's a Supermassive game. Supermassive game. That's a prequel to the Until Dawn game that they released. Although I'm not sure exactly how it'll tie in. I think I'll look forward to that. It's a PSVR game. You're in a mental asylum, and stuff is gonna work out quite well, I'm sure. It's gonna be a happy, fun time, because it always is in mental health facilities, right? Then we have the Western release of Lost Sphere, for PC, Switch, and PS4. That's the follow-up to the Tokyo RPG Factory's I Am Setsuna. So, the artistic style, seems pretty much unchanged. It's a very beautiful styled game. I haven't actually picked it up, though I am interested in seeing what they do. Then we also get Subnautica for PC. I don't know what that game is, but, yeah. On the 25th, we have Celeste coming to PC, Switch, and PS4. That's, I believe it's made by the guys who made Towerfall? I could be wrong. Yes, okay. Matt Thorson, who created Towerfall, and then also Noel Berry from Skytorn. It's a pixely platformer with some Metroidvania aspects, but it seems to be one of those that's supposed to be super hard, but they've also announced that there are like different things you can do to actually make it easier, and also different things that you can do to make it harder within the game itself, not just like difficulty settings. So I'm kind of interested in seeing how exactly that works. But anyway, that's coming out on the 25th. Then, 26th, the biggest day of the month, possibly the biggest day of the year, for me at least. We have Dragon Ball FighterZ.
You did it!
That's right, I did it. yeah, I was told to extend the Z. So that's coming out for PC, PS4, and Xbox One. Definitely picking that up. It's the Dragon Ball Z Fighter game. It's a fighting game. It's it's made by Arc System Works.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Arc System Works.
Yeah. Yep. And it's beautiful. And since both Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom are kind of disappointing right now, a lot of people may turn to this, and that'll be cool, right? Yeah. I did play the beta. I sucked at all the online matches, mostly because there's no real tutorial. Like, you don't get any. There is a tutorial where you can learn how to do very basic stuff, but there's no practice mode in the beta. There will be in the actual game, but yeah, like, so I didn't know how to do anything with the characters I chose. Yeah.
Well, what was your team in the beta?
I chose a lot of different teams, always focused around Vegeta, because Vegeta's my boy. I love that guy. And
Vegeta Blue or a normal Vegeta?
Super Saiyan. Then we have the bigger release. As much as I'm looking forward to Dragon Ball FighterZ, the bigger release is Monster Hunter World, coming out for PS4 and Xbox One, with PC to come in the fall, I believe. So, pick that up, Marcelo.
I definitely will be.
And
so.
Jason, get a PS4 and pick that up. I will punch you until you do. That is an amazing game. It's had three betas so far. The third beta is currently going on. You do not need PlayStation Plus to actually do it. So get in there. Well, depending on when I upload this. It might still be going on, it might not. If it's not, then you missed your chance. But anyway, get the game, because it's amazing. It's, this third beta, they, released Nergigante, who is basically the flagship monster for this one, and, he's amazing. He's a giant beast with, he's got these spikes all over his body, and, when you attack, they kind of break off, but then they grow back, and they start turning black, and if you don't break them before they turn fully black, then they become too hard to break, like your weapons will start bouncing off of them, and all of his attacks start doing more damage. So, you have to be fully aggressive, if you're gonna take him down. And, the only problem I have is, even though Monster Hunter demos are typically 30 minutes, the beta they released, has given a time limit of 20 minutes for each quest, and Nergigante in particular, they lowered to 15 mere minutes. So, he's tough. He's tough to kill. Like,
sounds like a DPS race in an MMO.
His greatest weapon is time, apparently. So, yeah. Then, on the 30th, a game that Marcelo is certainly looking forward to is Dissidia Final Fantasy NT, coming to PS4. Not like the Dissidias that were on PSP and Vita. So these are three-on-three battles with full arena style combat, right? Right there.
Yep. It's basically like it's a team game. You'll have a squad of three versus another squad of three. A lot of things to consider, like with your squad composition and things like that. It's going to be a lot of fun, without a doubt. That's going to be probably one of my favorite games of the year.
Right. So then yep. on the same day for the PC, we have Ease 8, Lacrimosa of Dana coming out. I believe that's just a port. It's probably out for consoles already.
It's actually a retranslation.
Oh, is that what that is? Okay.
Yeah, that's the thing where like the translation come for the original one did such a crap job that they retranslated the whole game. And this is the re-release of that.
Okay. Is that the one that had like the big hole or something?
Yeah, yeah, there was some real bad stuff in there.
Yeah.
Some like, real bad stuff in there.
Like, a giant canyon was just named Big Hole.
Wait, what? What?
Yeah. Yeah, it was bad. Just look up Ease 8 translation in your browser, and you'll find all kinds of...
Big Hole.
Yeah, you'll find all kinds of errors. Anyway, so that is January. Let's move on to February, and I'm just going to gloss through and give us some of the bigger titles, and we'll see if we're interested. So, February 6th, we have Shadow of the Colossus coming out for PS4. That's going to be amazing. I just learned that it's got a photo mode, which I don't know. Like, it kind of seems like every game has a photo mode now. Either that or a Battle Royale style. 50 versus 50 giant Colossus. that would be fun. Then February 8th, Civ 6 Rise and Fall, that's the expansion, bringing in like 9 new civilizations to the game. And so if you're into that, then there you go. Dragon Quest Builders comes to the Switch on the 9th. It's already out for PS4 and Vita, I believe. PC as well? I'm not sure. Then Dynasty Warriors 9 coming to PC, PS4, and Xbox One on the 13th, along with Kingdom Come Deliverance. That's the kind of Skyrim without dragons and magic and fantasy, and it's realistic medieval storytelling, basically. That's take this with a pinch of salt because I kickstarted the game, but it's got an extremely detailed kind of grasp of history in basically everything it does. The music is supposed to be authentic. The combat styles are like very thoroughly researched, and as well as like all of the weapons and armor. And the combat system itself is going to be not just like swing your sword and kill a dude. It's going to be based on you have to aim for specific body parts, and seems pretty cool. Then we have Owlboy is getting a port to the Switch, PS4, and Xbox One, and that'll be fun. I've heard a lot, and I want to get into that game. Radiant Historia, The Perfect Chronology, is coming to 3DS. So if you're into that series, then there you go. A Certain Magical Virtual On is coming on February 15th. So if you've been missing the Virtual On series for the past 10 years, and you just really wanted to get back into it, then there you go. This is kind of a mix with the A Certain Magical series, which is about, teenagers growing up in a special city where certain people are granted magical powers and others aren't. Secret of Mana Remake is coming to PC, PS4, and PS Vita on the same day. That's the one with like Chibify, deformed, deformed chibis. Not really into that style, but Secret of Mana is obviously a good game, but they already released that for the Nintendo Classic. So, February 16th, we get Bayonetta and Bayonetta 2 for the Switch. That'll be great. I haven't played either of those games, so I've wanted to for a while, and now I can. Yay. Then, February 20th is the game with a target all over its back. It is Metal Gear Survive coming out for PC and PS4 and Xbox One. Everybody is out for this game because it's the first Metal Gear game to be released since Kojima's departure from Konami.
I really love Metal Gear. I like, this game sounds terrible, but I hope it's not. I really hope it's not.
I'm honestly surprised because there have been a few articles at places like Eurogamer and Polygon saying not so much that it's a great game, but not to sleep on this game. Like, it's better than expected. Which, I mean, you know, the bar is pretty low at this point. But I don't know. There is a beta currently going on, and I might try to get into it. It's just that survival and crafting games are definitely not my forte. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
So it's just kind of like, was it Arma? Arma with Metal Gear?
I have no clue what Arma is, so I can't tell you. Right. So, we go on to February 22nd when we get Hokuto ga Gotoku, which is, Fist of the Yakuza of the North Star. Yeah, so the
Yakuza, both sound great.
Yeah, the Yakuza series is known as Ryuga Gotoku in Japan. So Fist of the North Star is Hokuto no Ken. So in Japan, they have fused these titles together to become Hokuto ga Gotoku, or Like the North Star. In Japanese, so I don't know how that will be translated in English, but that game is coming out and it looks amazing. It's got bartenders going shaka 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 shaka. So yeah, look forward to that.
I can't believe you did that. Such a
I was very hesitant on extending my Z for Dragon Ball FighterZ, but I will always go shaka shaka shaka. Yeah, I'll do that all day. I don't care. Then finally, the last big one I think is February 27th. We get Payday 2 ported to the Switch. That's just going to be Payday 2. So if you're into cooperative bank heist, then there you go. Yeah, March. We're starting to thin out a little bit, as is typical for the beginning of the year. We don't have a lot of confirmed dates, so we have Bravo Team for the PSVR. That's another super massive game, but it looks like a very typical cover shooter, so not much to talk about there. Final Fantasy 15 is coming to the PC, and with it is coming the Royal Edition, which looks, frankly, quite amazing. They're adding in like two new chapters, new areas. You can free roam in the speedboat that you get. There's a first person mode. I'm not sure how well that'll work out. I really need to get back into that game because I haven't played it since I beat it at the beginning of last year. And there's been so much added on. A new chapter for each character. The ability to swap between characters so you can play as different as whoever you want. There's a multiplayer mode that you can do now. Yeah, all kinds of things to look forward to.
Yeah, I actually got a Steam link for mm-hmm. Christmas, so I might actually give that a try.
Oh,
possibly. Please see do. if it can wipe the terrible taste that 13 left in my mouth.
I'm certain it will. I never played 13, but I really did enjoy Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah, 15 is great for sure. Yeah.
And then on the same day, not much is really known about this game, but Scribblenauts Showdown is coming to Switch, PS4, and Xbox One. So it's the first Scribblenauts game in quite a while. Scribblenauts being a game where it's basically like a super creative game where you write stuff down and it creates whatever you write, and it's just got a super extensive dictionary of things that you can create. I'm not sure how well that will work on a thing where you can't really type that well, but we'll see. The previous games have come out for like the 3DS, or the first one was just for the DS, but yeah, and then also they've come out for iPad and things like that.
Where maybe it has like handwriting recognition or something.
Maybe.
Like, so you
finally use that DualShock 4 touchpad. There you go. Yeah. March 13th, we have the Devil May Cry HD collection coming to PC, PS4, and Xbox One. I guess it's HD-er than the last HD collection that they released. so, yeah. Also, Golem for the PSVR. That's, it's a game that they've been talking about for quite a while since the PSVR was even announced, where you play as, like, a girl who kind of astral projects herself to control these golems and get in various fights. Let's see, what else we got here? March 16th, Kirby Star Allies is coming to the Switch. It's a Kirby game where you can get, like, three companions, and those can be, like, computer companions. You suck up the enemies, and instead of just absorbing their power, they become part of your team, and you combine skills to do different things. So, then, March 20th, Attack on Titan 2. That's the sequel to the Omega Force Attack on Titan. There is another Attack on Titan game, not by Omega Force, but, this is not that series. Anyway, it's basically a Musou game or Warriors game, but reversed. Instead of tiny little dudes, you're fighting gigantic dudes, but they're still hordes and they're still pretty easy to take down. So, if you're into the story though, it could be a good game. Sea of Thieves comes out on the same day. That's the new game by Rare, where it's a multiplayer cooperative pirate adventure. So, that's only coming out to PC and Xbox One. So, I will be unfortunately unable to get it. So, Jason, get on that, I guess.
Sure. Sure.
Then Yakuza 6 comes out on the same day, for the West anyway. It's already out here in Japan. March 21st is Valkyria Chronicles 4 coming out to the PS4 in Japan, so I will definitely be picking that up. This is the first, like, home console Valkyria Chronicles since the first game. 2 and 3 were both released for handheld consoles. Then we have March 23rd is A Way Out. That's the new Hazelight game. It's jailbreak adventure cooperative, like forced cooperative. You can't do it single player. It's a split screen game where you work with your partner and decide how you're gonna handle different situations, which I'm sure will just go great with random people online. Bring a friend for this one. Speaking of which, one thing I do like about this is that your friend does not it's not required that your friend owns the game. Apparently you can just invite other people who don't own the game to play with you. So, even through online. So that'll be pretty interesting. The Western release of Detective Pikachu for the 3DS. That's been out for a long time over here. I never did finish it though. And then, same day, we get Ni No Kuni 2 Revenant Kingdom for PC and PS4. That's shaping up to be amazing. Looking forward to that. March 27th is Far Cry 5, which, kill some bad dudes. Bad dudes who happen to be living in Montana. Yeah, that's gonna cause a lot of controversy for people who deserve a bit of controversy.
People who live in Montana.
That's right. There are good people in Montana. We know at least one good person from Montana.
But he doesn't live there.
Well, that's true. That's true. Finally, March 30th, we get Agony. This is another game I kickstarted. So take it with a grain of salt, but this is a first-person horror stealth survival horror game. You are basically descending into the depths of hell. There's not a lot of actual gameplay has been shown. There's been several videos, but most of it is like the atmosphere, and that's kind of why I funded the Kickstarter to begin with, is the atmosphere alone. It's a gorgeous looking game. If, you know, your idea of gorgeous is just bloody seeping walls that pulse with, nefarious life and horror and evil. Which is, you know, how I want my future home to look. It's a stylistic choice. So. And that's basically gonna do it. There's a couple of pockmarked, you know, haphazard dates thrown up for a variety of different things. But, those are the firm dates we have. And now, just to keep this going a little bit, we do have these, here we go, unscheduled releases. And, we're just gonna shotgun straight through these. And I wanna hear yes or no. Yes or no.
Sure.
From you guys. The game here is, do you think it will actually come out this year? Or do you think it's gonna be delayed?
Okay.
Alright, so we have, I'm only gonna choose like the larger ones. Anthem. Anthem.
Yes.
Okay.
Dunno.
Anthem is the BioWare game. It's kind of Destiny-like, where you're in suits of armor and exploring a world and getting loot. So you think yes, Jason?
Yeah.
All right. It's currently scheduled for Q4. So, I don't know. But they definitely need to do something to take the taste of, Mass Effect Andromeda out of our mouths. So.
Well, that's only if you played it, which I didn't.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, the Metroidvania game made by Iga himself, who directed Symphony of the Night. He's making a new game, and it's scheduled for Q1, Q2, 2018. Do you think we'll see that?
Please, Iga, please. Please. Yes, please.
I want to see it, but I don't think we will.
You take those dirty words out of your mouth there, Jason.
Mm.
Definitely coming
out. I mean, it is a Kickstarter title, and those do have an extensive history of being delayed. So we'll have to see what happens. Next up, let's see, what do we got here? Okay, here we go. Detroit Become Human is scheduled for Q1, Q2 for PS4. This is the new Quantic Dream game. Honestly, they've shown, I don't know, 2-3 years worth of trailers now? And we still don't have a confirmed date for it. But here it says Q1, Q2, 2018. What do you think, guys?
No.
No.
No? All right. No. We will not be seeing Detroit this year. I'm going to hold you guys to that. We have, skipping down here, God of War. This is the reimagining of the God of War franchise, where Kratos is now a cool dad. And yeah, still action-adventure style combat and things like that. Currently scheduled for Q1 2018.
Yeah, I think we'll see that. I think that'll actually come out.
I'll give it a firm maybe.
All right. I don't think maybes can be firm by definition. But all right, let's see. Okay, here we go. Kingdom Hearts 3 for PS4 and Xbox One. No confirmed quarter given here.
No.
Yeah, I'll go with a no on that one.
Okay, go with a no. I can't remember when Kingdom Hearts 3 was even first announced. It's been a while. 2012, maybe?
I'm just amazed they managed to count to 3. I thought they forgot. Like 1.1, 1.135.
It was just like halves and like quarters, though, wasn't it? Wasn't like decimal.
I'm saying,
like,
I'm just really surprised they managed to count to 3 finally.
Yeah, here we go. Concepts for the game began as early as 2006 after the release of Kingdom Hearts 2 Final Mix in Japan. So yeah, at least 10 years. I think a big problem with it is that Disney keeps acquiring new properties, and then they're like, well, we should probably include this in the game now.
They got to put all that Pixar shit in there, right?
Yeah, Pixar and now, you know, Marvel.
And fucking Star Wars.
That's right. And they just bought Fox. So, yeah.
So 2025, is that what we're thinking now? 2025, yeah. Perhaps?
Are we going to have an Aliens world?
wow.
Yeah. Okay. Let's keep going here. So we have Mega Man 11. There was a big surprise when they announced that they're finally following up with a numbered title to the series. So Mega Man 11 is scheduled for Q4.
I think it's a pixel game. It's not like they're reinventing the wheel here. It's not that hard to do. NES Mega Man. So.
Yeah, I think that's a good chance, yes.
Ask Inafune how Mighty Number 9 went and get back to me.
Well,
Inafune making Mega Man 11?
No, he's not.
No, then...
then we don't care.
it is being directed by Koji Oda and produced by Kazuhiro Tsuchiya. So... right. So we move on to Metro Exodus. Again, scheduled for Q4 2018. This is the third title in the Metro franchise. Survival shooter set in like a dystopian, radioactive Russia where you live in the underground. What do you think, guys?
I'm gonna give this one a solid. I don't give a shit.
Jason, we're gonna have words. And have words.
I'll give it a yes. I think it'll be coming out this year.
Metro is an amazing series. And for someone like myself, like I don't typically enjoy a lot of shooters, but this one gets to me. It's a good series. All right, so we move on. Anything else? Oh, here we go. Here's a good one. Red Dead Redemption 2, scheduled for Q2 for PS4 and Xbox One.
That's a good question.
It's already been delayed. It was originally scheduled to come out, in Q4 last year. Pushed to Q1, Q2 this year.
I think we'll see it before Christmas, but I think there will be another delay.
I'm going to piggyback on to what Jason just said. I think, yeah, I'd be real surprised if it came out any earlier than Christmas, or at least, the 11th or 12th month of the year.
Okay. All right, so here we go. Christmas, Red Dead Redemption. All right, game of the year. If not, Monster Hunter World. all right, here's another one for you. Shenmue 3, scheduled for Q3 and Q4.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Are you sure you don't want to think about that one for a bit?
Yeah. No.
That one's not going out.
No.
Okay.
Never.
All right. The Insomniac Spider-Man game for PlayStation, scheduled for Q1, Q2.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it delayed like last year or something?
No, it hasn't been delayed. It never had a date. So all right, so that's two yes. Anything else? Let's see. Untitled Fire Emblem game for Nintendo Switch.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, I want new Fire Emblem. But yeah, I think it actually will come out.
Okay, let's see. I think that's it. I think that's all we got. All right. Well, yeah. So there's still plenty of stuff to look forward to in 2018. Just what that is. Well, we don't know yet. So look forward to it. In the meantime, we've been playing some games, but they are not 2018 games. They're 2017 leftovers. Let's say.
Yep.
Or in Jason's case, even farther than that, but let's talk about, let's move on. We're kind of running long here, so we'll just cut out a few of these. Why don't you tell us about Blaster Master Zero, Jason? How's that
sure.
game?
Sure. It's great. I mean, it's basically everything I wanted from a remake. I think Chris talked about it. God, I don't know how long ago he talked about it, but there have been some DLC releases and things since then. But it's Blaster Master. It's awesome. It's a game that I, you know, remember fondly from my childhood. It is a side-scrolling NES shooter. Well, half of it's a side-scrolling NES shooter. The overworld, you control a tank, and you can hop out of your tank as a little dude and run around, and you shoot stuff and look for holes to go inside. Well, I'm sorry, dungeons, whatever. You leave your tank, you go inside the dungeon, it switches to a top-down shooter a la, like, Smash TV or something like that. But I mean,
like those old-school Contra levels, right? Like, you know,
It's like, yeah, with the full 360 degrees of freedom, old school Contra levels, yeah, the top down ones. So, yeah, I mean, that's what it is. And I mean, like, it doesn't really require a lot of explanation. It's an NES game. It was pretty simple. They didn't really change anything about the game other than giving it a major facelift, which is great. They added a story, which didn't have a story. It was just go around killing aliens.
It had a story even in the old one too.
Well, yeah, but it was like the only thing you saw was like there was an intro to the game and then like an ending sequence, and like in the middle there was nothing. Yeah. And actually the frog is still in there in this one. He's still there, but like he's not, I don't know, it's a plot point and I don't want to talk too much about it, but he's still there. And actually the really interesting thing that I really liked was, did you guys ever read those Worlds of Power
novelizations? I did.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You never read those? Oh, they're great.
Do you want to nerd out on this real fast, man?
I don't want to waste too much time. I don't want to waste too much time on it. But like they made little like I wouldn't even call them young adult. They're like 10-year-olds,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
novelizations, light novels for kids in America out of what games did they use? They used
Castlevania 2, Ninja Gaiden, Super Mario,
Metal Gear.
I'm looking at all this
Metal Gear. Yeah,
Metal Gear, Mega Man 2. Bases Loaded 2 thing. For some fucking reason.
I did not read that.
Yeah, one. They did one for Bases Loaded 2.
Wow, that's something.
Yep. Yeah, they did like almost like 20 of these things, and I had.
I see 10. There are 10 listed here.
Well, okay, whatever. Anyways, I made a whole. I read like half of them at least, and they were all like great as a 10-year-old. And yeah. Blaster Master was great. And what they did with this remake is they took the story of the original game from Japan, which was called like Chowakseid something fight. I don't know. It was like a totally different story, completely different story than the localized Western version. And they also took this Nintendo Power book, which was like a completely like giant like novelization take on the American story, which all sorts of added stuff to it, and like merged all three of them together and made a whole new story for this game, which was great. It was awesome. Because I really loved that book as a kid. And they also like sort of really changed a lot of the mechanics. Like in the original game, when you're doing the top down inside the dungeons levels, you would just like, you would get gun power ups, but it would basically just make your gun shoot harder or faster.
Well, it'd have the triple shot too, I think.
Yeah, well, like you start with a little pea shooter, and then like the first gun upgrades your range, and then the second one adds like every third shot was like a curve shot, and then like this the fourth one, like every other shot was a curve shot, and it would curve both ways, and it would just kind of keep upgrading like that until the final level, which was 8, in which you got like the ultra gun, which would like this super zigzag gun that covered like half the screen and went through walls. It was like the win button, but if you got hit, you lost a gun level. So you could never get hit or you'd lose the ultra gun. In the new one, they kind of kept the same system, but instead of like just upgrading your gun, every level of gun is a completely different gun, and you can freely choose between them once you have them, you know, in your arsenal. So there's a machine gun, there's a shotgun, there's a flamethrower, there's like this laser or this like electric thing that like changes like between enemies.
Yeah, like there's also one that lets you bypass walls when you shoot.
Oh, that's the wave gun. That's the ultra gun.
Well, isn't there one before that? Before the wave gun?
Oh, yeah, there's the penetrator. The penetrator. But I don't know if that shoots through walls. I think it shoots through enemies. Like, it, the bullets don't stop when it hits an enemy or something. It might shoot through walls. I forget. Anyways, that. And they changed, like, the grenades. Like, in the original game, you had grenades and they were infinite. In this one, you have, like, a finite number of grenades, but you have, like, six kinds of grenades. You can discover upgrades or extra kinds of grenades. And it's kind of cool. And they also added this gun guard ability you can get.
Oh, that is a fantastic ability. Yeah.
I kind of feel like it's cheating. I'm like,
dude, it makes, when you makes the game I too hate easy. Losing the ultra gun, so, like, that makes
Yeah, but like, so the gun guard, like, it protects. It's like the regenerating shield from like Halo or something. Like, you take a hit, and you lose the life, but you don't lose the gun. But you can only do that once. But the gun guard regenerates after like 5 seconds or something. So you can take like one hit every 5 seconds and not lose gun levels. Anyways, so yeah, it's a really great game. I've loved it for decades now, and I believe they've put out a lot of DLC since Chris talked about it. They've added 4 alternate heroes. There is Gunvolt, which is from another Intercreates game, which is who did this remake. There is Ekoro from the Galgun series, if you guys are familiar with that. Do you guys know the Galgun
series? I do, yeah. That's the one where you shoot the panties.
I know which one it is.
All the girls want you, and you don't want them, apparently.
Yeah, so you gotta shoot them with your pheromone gun.
That's right.
Anyways, yeah, so there's a character from that series that you can play. You can play as Shovel Knight, which seems interesting. And you can also play as Shantae from the Half Genie Shantae series.
Shovel Knight's just in everything. So.
Yeah. It's a good game, Shovel Knight.
I like it.
And they've also added, in the original game, if you beat the game with 100% completion, you would get the good ending, and you would also get New Game Plus, in which you could start a new game with a super upgraded tank, and you keep all of the upgrades from the previous playthrough, which makes the game completely trivial. And I didn't really like it. But in the newer updates, they've added Destroyer Mode, which is a hard mode, in which you no longer get health upgrades. You no longer have a gun guard that is removed from the game. All of your weapons and things placements, like the upgrades, are changed, so you won't find a lot of your weapons until later in the game. All enemies' shots now pierce through walls when you're in the overhead levels, which makes it a lot harder. All enemies are now only weak to one specific type of gun. They are immune to all other guns. So, yeah, most enemies are immune to everything except for, like, the pea shooter gun and one other gun. Although a lot of enemies are immune to the pea shooter gun, too. So, like, for example, there's one boss, the crab boss. He is only weak to the shield gun. Which means you can you can only reflect his own shots back at him. You can never hurt him any other way. And even like the regular enemies in every level are exactly the same way. They are only weak to one specific type of gun. You have to have that type of gun to be able to kill them. Or grenades. Everything's weak to grenades, pretty much. But again, you have limited grenades, so you can't just run around blowing stuff up.
Grenades is my one weakness as well. Just so
it's a pretty big weakness of mine. They've removed all large pickups for like health and gun levels and grenades, so you can only get like one level of anything at a time instead of like 5. All enemies in the side-scrolling tank phases now emit a fast-moving bullet upon death. So you can't kill anything that's close to you or it will shoot you. And I think all the enemies' damage has been increased, but I can't be sure about that. Anyways, yeah, it's way harder and it's way more true to the original game, I think.
It's the put back in the pause trick and I'll be happy.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, the boss mechanics are so different that I don't think that would even work anyways. Like, they changed all the bosses, and they added a bunch of new bosses, which is another thing I really liked about the game. Like, in the original NES version, like, every stage had, like, lots of little dungeons you can go into, but there was only ever a reason to go into one of them, because there's only one that has the boss for the stage, and the boss has the weapon that you need to get to the next stage. So there's no reason to go into any of the other stages unless you're just, like, hunting for gun power-ups. That's, like, it. But in the new one, they've added like little mini bosses or power-ups or something, at least one thing to find in every single little dungeon. So now there's a reason to go into all the other little dungeons laying around, which was pretty cool. So yeah, long story short, this game is fucking awesome and I love it. And it's on sale right now. I think it's only like $6 on the Nintendo eShop. So go get it. It's really good.
What that guy said.
All right. Now, like I said, we're running a little long here, and we've got beds to get to. They are calling us because we record late at night, so we're gonna skip a couple of things. I've been playing Xenoblade Chronicles along with Marcelo. That's an amazing game, JRPG with kind of MMORPG style combat where you fight in groups of three and you wait for skills to charge up before you can use them and then they cool down so you wait again. Very, very awesome. It's got an amazing story and collectible blades, and each blade has its own personality because they're living things. So yeah, get that game. Evil Within 2, I've been playing a lot of that, kind of dropped off because of after it was released, a lot of amazing stuff come out, like Xenoblade came out. Yeah, I got back into it. That's another amazing game. I'm loving the horror style aspect of an open world exploration where, instead of just being afraid of walking down narrow corridors, now I'm afraid of walking down like streets and avenues and waiting for gigantic things to come and crush me. So there's that. I've been playing the one I will talk about is Goro Goa. So Goro Goa is what's it out for? I think it's out for everything. PC, Xbox One, Switch. I could be wrong. But yes, it's an amazing game, but I think I'm saying amazing way too much. I need to stop doing that. So this is an amazing game. Ah, I did it again. But yeah, this is
sounds like it's on purpose.
Ah, you caught me. So this is put out by Annapurna Interactive. They did What Remains of Edith Finch and Flower. They're doing Wattam when that comes out. That's the new game by the guy who did Katamari. So Annapurna does a lot of these kind of artistic style games, where the gameplay itself is not so much, you know, action based or anything. And Goro Goa is perfect for that. It's a very relaxing game, but it's also incredibly hard for me to describe over a podcast because it is a supremely visually oriented game. The entire game basically plays out as if it's an interactive picture book. The field of play is this square in the middle of your screen, and the square is divided into four sections. You'll start with one picture that basically takes up an entire section, and sometimes you can manipulate it either by moving it to another section or by doing something with the picture itself, like zooming in on a certain section or panning left and right within the image. Eventually by doing certain actions, the picture can be modified such that you'll click on it to move it to another section in the square, but instead of moving the entire thing, you'll be picking up basically like the border. The central object will remain while the border pops off and it becomes its own image. Whereas what was the center before becomes a different image. For example, you might be looking at, this is just me making something off of the top of my head. I'm not bringing up something in the game itself, but you might look at somebody at their table having dinner and along the wall they have decorative plates or something like that. And for some reason you can zoom in on the plates and it will show the plate itself. Then you'll click the image. It will bring out the border. But then the plate will become something different, or a plate that is actually on a table at some other person's table. So you'll zoom out, and oh, it's this guy eating. But yeah, like I said, it's really hard to describe this. But the gameplay itself then becomes how to manipulate the different images or the parts of the image so that you can move this story along. So there's a story that continues from click one all the way to the end. There are no words throughout the entire game, no dialogue, no text boxes, just nothing. It's all images. But it has to do with basically this this boy's entire life, and he has it's a pretty rough life. So there are moments of war throughout his life, and injury and pain, and but then like some bright spots, some hope for the future, and family and love and things like that. So the gameplay itself becomes, like I said, manipulating images. So for example, you might see the boy holding a bowl. And, you know, he's hungry, so he wants something in the bowl. And then you look at, another image in a different section, and it might have, somebody outside reading a book by a tree. So you click on the tree and it zooms in, and there's an apple on the branch of the tree. So you click that and the apple, like, falls, so you have to make sure that the image of the boy with the bowl, you zoom in on the bowl, so now there's a bowl beneath the apple, so then you click the apple, it drops, and it goes into the bowl, so you zoom out of the bowl image, and now the boy has an apple. But at the same time, like, because the apple is in that bowl now, maybe it's advanced that story, so you zoom out, and yes, he has an apple in the bowl, but now instead of being in one place, he's in another place. Like he's feeding the apple to somebody else, and, yeah. It's a very interesting game to look at. Just very relaxing, and it's nice to just play a game where, there's no real high stakes to get through. It's, there's no failure or anything. You just keep going through. And some of the puzzles are a bit difficult to figure out, but it, again, because there's no real failure, condition, there's no real rage induced if you can't figure something out. And, yeah, so it's just a fun game. And I think that's gonna do it for this week. Welcome to 2018. Like I said, we've already talked about the games that are coming out next week. The only one you really need to care about is Monster Hunter World. Get that. and then you don't need any games for the rest of the year. So, yeah, enjoy.
There you have it.
Yeah. You can always go to our website at kaijupop.com and check out our articles, and reviews and things like that. You can also follow us on social media. We are on youtube.com/kaijupop and twitter.com/kaijupop. Or you can follow us personally. I am at Kyoshi Banzai.
I'm at Gibsaurus.
And Marcelo, that's right, Marcelo is a shadow presence, currently hiding from all known world governments, and shh. That's right, shh is one of those world governments, that's right, and we will catch you guys later. Thanks a lot for listening, and goodbye.
See ya.
See ya.